in the parasha of Onis, we have two separate mitzvos that the Ma'anis has to perform and fulfill towards the Anusa. One of them is the mitzvah of Velosi Eli Isha, that he has to marry her if she so desires, even if he doesn't desire it. And the second is the mitzvah of paying a knas to her father, or in the absence of her father's not alive, to her herself. And it's an important question that comes up both at the beginning of Elul Nairos and at the end of Elul Nairos to know what the relationship is between these two mitzvos. And in particular, this is something that I was very gratified to see in the Achronim, because it's something that Achronim don't usually do, but in this case they did. I saw the Ataras Shmuel, who is a Talmud of Rabbi Gewurz from Gateshead, who's a Talmud of Reb Beryl, who's a Talmud of Brisker Rav, so like a real Brisker, and he actually told some of the Shailos in the Sugya on the Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch, who says that the reason for the mitzvah's knas is to deter potential ma'ansim. They'll say, oh my, I'm going to be stuck with such a big penalty, I'm going to leave it alone, I'm not going to do the violent act. So he says, if that's the reason, so then it's going to lead to certain halachos, and if that's not the reason, so then it'll lead to other halachos. So this is the type of thing that even Brisker Achronim are interested here in the Tamei Mitzvos. So there are two standard Tamei HaMitzvos when it comes to looking at the Knas. The first one is to view it as a deterrent. Again, that's what the Sefer HaChinuch says, that we want people to say to have second thoughts before they commit a Maisa of being Ma'anis a girl, and so we put this heavy penalty on them and we say, give them a Knas. The second possibility is that it is a redress of the grievances, meaning he harmed her, he did something bad to her, he deprived her of certain opportunities that every young girl has the right to look forward to and to anticipate, and in exchange for that, so he has to give her certain securities which he may have otherwise deprived her of. And so that might also be have something to do with the knas. Now one might view the mitzvah of Lo Siya Li'isha along similar lines. One can say that Lo Siya Li'isha is a deterrent, shoseh Be'atzitzo, the person, you know, the people who are most vulnerable as victims of Ones are also the ones who are least desirable as marriage partners, and therefore the Torah says that if this person has a thought that he may attack someone who's vulnerable, he should have second thoughts because he's going to be stuck with her, and so therefore it's going to be a deterrent. And second of all, again, you know, these people, any person, that matter, who's the victim of an ones, should be entitled not simply to a flat fee, because she's obviously been deprived by the crime of the ma'anis, of much more than simply the kesef ksuba, and therefore he's obligated to give her the she'er, the ksus, the ona, basically everything in a marriage that he may have minimized her chances of getting from anybody else. And that would be a standard way of looking at knas, and also, to a certain extent, of looking at the mitzvah of Lo Siya Li'isha. However, I think that there is a third possibility, and that possibility is going to split the knas, the mitzvah of giving knas, from the mitzvah of Lo Siya Li'isha. And that possibility is very much along the lines of what we mentioned last week, except extending it a little bit further. Namely, that Lo Siya Li'isha is a way of redeeming the Maisa Ones from its Zenus identity and transforming it into the foundation of an Ishus, into the foundation of a marriage relationship. Meaning that the Maisa itself is a tremendous, tremendous Avera. This man violated a woman, and it was done totally outside of the context of Kiddushin. It was done in the most base manner possible. And if that Maisa of Ones is going to be redeemed, so it needs to, like the Rav talks about with regard to tshuva, that even sometimes something which is the most base, if it serves as an inspiration for something exalted, it can have some redemptive components. And so the attempt of the mitzvah of Lo Siya Li'isha is the Torah's paving the path or marking the way for the ma'anis, that if he wants to have some redemptive component to his ma'aseh zanus, he can fulfill the Lo Siya Li'isha, and that to a certain extent will do that. And maybe you can say that knas also fills this role a little bit, at least when the knas is offered in the context of the fulfillment of Lo Siya Li'isha, We'll see that in just a moment, how that might be. So that's my broad hypothesis, and I think that the main raios come from surveying the two groups of cases. One group of cases, which is listed as number 5 here on the outline, cases where there is a mitzvah of lotia liisha, lo with a vav, when there's no knas. And the second group of cases is number 6 in the outline, and that is cases where there's knas, even when there is no mitzvah of lo tiyeh li'isha. However, as we'll see, almost every single thing that are on both of these lists depend on disputes amongst the Rishonim and the Achronim, so it could be, in the end of the day, that there will be nothing or very few things where you actually find a discrepancy between the two, but it could also be, that every single item on this list is a genuine discrepancy between the two, and it could be that some of them are and some of them are not. Obviously, to the extent that there is a plethora of discrepancies, to that extent we'll say that the Mechayev or the Koveya of Knas is different from that of Lotia Li'isha, then Lotia Li'isha may have this extra redemptive component, and to the extent that the parameters of the two are the same, that every case where you'll have one, you'll have the other, we might say that Lotia Li'isha is nothing more than a big glorified bandage for the crime that he perpetrated against her. But before I get to that list even, I want to discuss what I think are two of the strongest rayos to this idea of the redemptive component within mitzvahs lotia li'isha. The first one, here is number 2 on the list, is a question about whether kiddushin alone is a fulfillment of lotia li'isha. So without going into all of the rayos, the Minchas Chinuch points out that the Mishnah is mashma, that a person needs to fulfill nisuin, he needs to enter into the highest stage of ishus in order to fulfill this mitzvah, and the reason that he thinks that you need to enter into the stage of Nisuin is because Nisuin is the only time when there's a chiyuv of She'er Ksus Va'ona. So it seems that the Minchas Chinuch is viewing and inferring it from a Mishnah that the significance of Lotia Li'isha is just like a glorified knas. Not only does he have to give Chamishim Kesef, but he also has to give She'er and Ksus and Ona on an ongoing basis. And therefore, the mitzvah is only fulfilled when he obligates himself in giving these things. And indeed, that's something which the Radvaz says explicitly. You can have, it's highlighted here, underlined on the bottom of the page. It's about midway down, the third underline begins at the beginning of a line. Visu, says the Radvaz. Hai lav knasu. First, he denies that the mitzvah of lotia li'isha, it's not a knas. But then he doesn't say, what is it? What is it instead? It's mamon, ela mamon. Okay? Nischayev. Ilan seems to probably it should say Nischayev La Ela Mamon Nischayev La Velisa Osa Lite La She'er Ksus Va'ona Velama Yipater Behoda Aso. So their Advaz, excusing the problems that Microsoft Word has copying from the Bar Ilan online, seems to be saying that the nature of mitzvahs lotia li'isha is primarily in the fact that he takes upon himself to give her she'er kisos ve'ona, and obviously that'll only be fulfilled at the time of nisuin. However, the Minchas Chinuch infers from the language of the Sefer HaChinuch that maybe the mitzvah is fulfilled even with erusin. Now, if erusin alone is sufficient to fulfill the mitzvah, then it indicates that it's not simply a glorified monetary penalty. It's something either more or less. And I would argue that what that something is, it may be that it turned the Maises Nus into the prelude to some sort of a Ishus relationship. That's potential possibility number 1. The second question is, this is number 3 on the outline, is the Knas in lieu of a Ksuba? So the Gemara has two possibilities. It says that either the Knas is in lieu of a ksuba, and therefore that is why once the ma'anis marries the anusa, he doesn't have to give her ksuba anymore, because he already gave it to her at the outset of the marriage. The second opinion, which is the opinion which is accepted in poskim, is that no, the reason that he does not have to give her a ksuba is not because he already gave it to her, but rather it's because the whole purpose of a ksuba is to give her security in her marriage. It's to make sure that she that she's not going to be sent away so easily. And over here, he's forbidden to send her away. He's forbidden to divorce her. And therefore, he has no need to write her a ksuba. So the Piskei Tshuva has the following discussion. He says, what happens if the person didn't pay a knas? He didn't. He was a modeh b'knas, or he couldn't afford it, whatever it is. Does he have to write her a ksuba? And he suggests that maybe he does have to write her a ksuba. In other words, the Piskei Tshuva is resurrecting this possibility that the knas, at least in the context of a nisuin, is instead of her ksuba. And therefore, when there is no knas, there will be a necessity for ksuba, and that may suggest that knas, at least in the context of the fulfillment of losia li'isha, does have some sort of a isha's role, and not simply, even the knas doesn't only have a deterrent or a redress of grievances role. This is also reflected in the minyan mitzvos. What exactly, how many mitzvos are there? It's always hard to know, like, what's the point of the minyan mitzvos? It's a question that lots of achronim grapple with, because the rishonim spend so much time counting up whether it's 613, whether it's not 613, but whatever it is, they spend so much time making a list of all the mitzvos, and in the end of the day, what's the nafkamina for it? It doesn't seem to be a halachic field of inquiry. It seems to be like, study Hasidus, the Jewish philosophy, and minyan mitzvos. So is there, but the Rambam, well, I guess the Rambam was very into philosophy, and so was Ramban. So it wouldn't be difficult, except that the Sefer Mitzvos, is it part of Yad HaChazaka? Is it not part of Yad HaChazaka? But, the fact is that halachists are very curious about the halachic ramifications of the minyan mitzvos, even though usually it's very hard to say that there's a lack of gramification the same way as if you have a cash on the Gemara, you can answer it one of two ways, and each of the two answers has a clear ramification in halacha, but certainly conceptually, the way that the mitzvos are counted can tell us something about the nature of the mitzvos, and then when there is absence of other evidence, that something which the minyan mitzvos tells us may actually have some impact on what the halacha is, and I think that this might be one example. So the Rambam counts the mitzvah, at least by ones, as being lo siya li'isha. He includes the fact that she gets a knas as like a subcategory of this mitzvah of lo siya li'isha. So lo siya li'isha is primary, and knas is only secondary. In contrast, the Behag seems to count the mitzvah as being knas, with the mitzvah of lo siya li'isha being somewhat secondary. And Rabbi Ruchem Fischel Perlow has a long, long essay about this Shitas HaBehag. And in contrast to both of those, the Radvaz seems to say that there are two separate mitzvahs. He attributes this to the Rambam, even though Rabbi Ruchem Fischel Perlow points out that you won't find it anywhere in the Rambam. But he attributes this to the Rambam, that there's a mitzvah to marry, and there's a mitzvah also to give the knas. So obviously, if you say that there's a mitzvah of marriage and a mitzvah of knas, that would seem to indicate that maybe there are two totally different mechayvim. If you say that the primary mitzvah is knas and that marriage is a subcategory of the mitzvah of knas, that might suggest the lower, less ambitious formulation, namely that knas and marriage as well are simply deterrents or bandages for what he's done. But if you say that the mitzvah is marriage and the knas is just sort of included under that, so then you can go both ways, but it may suggest that may suggest also what I was suggesting in the Radvaz, that there are two separate mechayivim, and that maybe even that the nature of knas can change depending on the context in which it is paid. So let's have a quick survey now of the cases where there may or may not be discrepancies between the mitzvah of lo siya li'isha and the mitzvah of knas. So case number one is modeh v'knas. If a person is modeh v'knas, he is pater. So what is the halacha if he's modeh v'knas? Does he have to marry the woman or does he not have to marry the woman? So the Radvaz, again, that we have over here, he tells us, in the first underline, he says, shtei mitzvos asei ninu. There are two separate mitzvos asei. Echaliti neknas, ve'echalisa osa. One is knas, and one is to marry her. And then, mashma, Delo habaha talya. They're not talui zebazet. You can have a case where there's no knas, but there still is a mitzvah to marry her. And therefore, says the Radvaz, you'll have a case of no knas, but yes, lo tihiya li'isha. again, the Radvaz himself is the one who says that the nature of Loti Elisha is just a glorified mandatory penalty. He says that there are just two different types of glorified mandatory penalties. One of them is a knas, and the other is like a mamonis, dika knas. But one might go beyond that even, if you extend it to its logical conclusion and say that that the mechayiv is radically different from the mechayiv of knas of chamish and kasef, rather than seeing it's only somewhat different in a vague and difficult to define way. What about sveikos? It's something which I don't think I've seen discussed, but it's important because safik mamon is lahakel, safik iser is lahachmir. So it's clear that if there's a safik whether the ma'anis has to pay knas or whether he doesn't have to pay knas, we'll see safik mamon lahakel, he gets to keep his money. However, there's a mitzvah saseh of lo siel yisha, so we would say if that mitzvah saseh is significantly different and significantly independent of the chiyuv to pay knas, that he would have to marry her even though he's not paying knas. Misafik, he'd have to marry her even though misafik, he gets to keep his money. On the other hand, if we say either, like the Radvaz, that the mitzvah to marry her is only a mitzvah of giving her sherek sos va'una, it's a mandatory mitzvah primarily, or if we say that the mitzvah to marry her is subsidiary to the mitzvah of paying knas, like the Bahag seems to say, so then we might say that if there's a safik and he's pater from knas, he will also be pater from lo tihi eliisha. There's an astonishing line, Rabbi Kiva Eger brings it down in Shulchan Aruch Kofayin Zayin, which is the main siman in Shulchan Aruch, which deals with halacha lemaisa of ones and pitoy. As I was going through last night, that siman in Shulchan Aruch, I was dismayed by how many tshuva svarim were quoted in the Pesachei Tshuva on the siman, because if there's tshuva svarim quoted, it means that there were shilos coming in about the subject, and it was just dismaying the number of tshuvos that were quoted. But the fact is that Rabbi Kiva Eger on that siman brings down what's the din of a bogaris. Now it's clear the pasuk says kimtzaish. It says kimtzaish na'ara b'sula sherlo orasa u'sfasa v'shachavimah. The Torah specifies naira in the context of ones, and the Ramban says you may have thought that the mitzvos of ones apply to a bogaris as well, because the crime is so horrendous that it shouldn't be restricted to when the victim is a naira, that the restitution should apply even when the victim is a bogeris, and that's why the Torah had to write naira. The Ramban says it's like a gzeiras hakasav, hard to understand why it doesn't apply to a bogeris. So comes along Rabbi Kiva Eger and says maybe it's only the mitzvah of chamishim kesef that doesn't apply to a bogeris. She's not entitled to this special knas, because after all, she's getting the pigam, and she's getting the boshes, and she's getting the tsar and everything else, and it's just the chamishim kesef that she doesn't get. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, maybe there's even a mitzvah of lo siel yisha. If a person violates a bogaris against her will, maybe there's a mitzvah of lo siel yisha. So again, there's no knas, but there would be lo siel yisha. We don't pass in this way. There does not seem to be any mitzvah at all, mitzvah in the mitzvah sense, and maybe an inyan, but no mitzvah to marry a bogaris after one violates her. But nonetheless, the passibility is intriguing in what it suggests about the independence and the perhaps elevated significance of lo tihi eliisha. What about a katan? I mean, Minchas Kinuch has a discussion. Katan, who was ma'anis, a woman, there's no chiyuv mamun. There's a katan is not chayiv in knas. But, says the Minchas Kinuch, when he grows up, he has to marry her. Mitzvah lo siel yisha is mechayev, it grows up together with him, and when he becomes a bar mitzvah, so that's the first thing that he should do. He should go ahead and marry this woman that that he violated. You can have the chasana and the bar mitzvah all at the same time. So, again, he doesn't really bring rayos one way or another, but it seems, again, that you have this independent mitzvah, which is broader than simply, giving her a certain amount of money, that there's something that needs to be done. Perhaps what that is to redeem the original Maisei Znus. And then finally, an important, very important question. Rabbi Schachter might tell you the most important question, in the Perek, which is, so Bizman Hazeh, what happens? What happens if nowadays you're on a Beis Din and somebody comes in, a woman comes in and says, this man was ma'anismi, or this man was mefatimi, and she brings Edim, or the man is moda, so what do we What do we tell him to do? What are his obligations? And what are our obligations as a beis din? Meaning he may come to you as a rabbi and say, Rabbi, I was ma'anis this girl. What should I do now? And the girl may come to beis din and say, beis din, you know, dayanim, shimuna rabosai dayanim mumchim, this man was ma'anis me. Now make him do what he's obligated to do. So what exactly are we supposed to tell him bizman hazeh? Does he pay her knas? Does he not pay her knas? If he's asking, Rabbi, what should I do? Should I give her chamishim kesef? Should I not give her chamishim kesef? What do we tell him? And if she comes into court and says, come and make him pay the chamishim kesef, or make him marry me, what do we respond to her? So we have a range of opinions about both of these questions. There are those who say, which is a very, very novel thing, and I don't think we pass in that way, that the rabbi will tell him he has a mitzvah to give her the chamishim kesef. The Rif says we make charamim, we put him into chirim until he gives her something which is suitable to, but it's not the mitzvah of chamishim kesef, that's something which maybe is in the spirit of the chamishim kesef. But there are those who say that he has a mitzvah, lechatchila, to give her the chamishim kesef, but we don't seem to pass in that way. On the other hand,
which age are we talking about?
Nara? And then what about if she demands that we compel him? So the Minchas Chinuch has a discussion about this also, and he says that it could be that if she demands that we compel him to marry her, we will not do that, even though he has a mitzvah, because nowadays we don't have enough authority in our courts, we're not smuchim, Eretz Yisrael, etc. We don't have the shlichos, because it's something which is not common, so we don't have the authority even to act as agents of the ancient smuchim who made us agents to do lots of things that we wouldn't be able to do if we weren't their agents. Sorry if that was a mouthful. But we don't have the authority to compel him to marry her. And so then if you put those two together, then it would mean that Knas and Lotia Lish are the same. Meaning in both cases, we don't compel, but there is a Chiyav Latzis Yidei Shemayim. But it seems more likely, certainly, that we don't even have a Chiyav Latzis Yidei Shemayim to pay the Knas. And as for the marriage of Lotia Lisha, so the Shulchan Aruch says if he married her and then he divorced her, we compel her to remarry. So the Minchas Chinuch says, that only means if he married her and then divorced her. But if he never married her to begin with, so then we're not going to compel him to marry her, even though that's his mitzvah. I'm not sure that that's 100% muchach. So again, you might have, again, this tremendous discrepancy between Knas and Lotia Lisha, that one, there's not even a Chiyav Latzis Yidei Shemayim, the other, we may go so far as to even compel him to fulfill it. And then finally, let's do section 6. It'll take us about half a minute if we do it quickly enough. So what about when there's knas without lotia liisha? So one case is mefata. Mefata, obviously, there is no mitzvah of lotia liisha. But there is a mitzvah, or maybe there isn't, of mahar yimharen alo liisha. What exactly is the nature of this mahar yimharen alo liisha? So Rabbi Rucham Fischl Perla brings down that there are two different opinions about it. There is one opinion that says that there is a mitzvah, lechatchila, to marry her even by mefata, and that's what mahar yimaren alo liisha means. The Gemara says mahar yimaren alo midato, so that means that we don't compel him to do it, but nonetheless, we tell him, if he asks, Rabbi, what should I do? We tell him he fulfills the mitzvah by marrying her. The Maharal, his Peirush on Chumash and Gur Aryeh, says that the mitzvah is that he should send her lots of presents, or he should promise her a tremendous Tosefes Ksuba in order to convince her to marry him. So I'm not sure whether that's a mitzvah. He should send her lots of presents. It's a mitzvah for him to send her the presents. Or whether it's an Eitzah Toba, because if he sends her lots of presents, he may end up saving money because he doesn't have to pay the knas. But one way or another, it could be that Mefata is an example of where there's a mitzvah of knas, but not a mitzvah of nisuin, but it could be that by mefata, there are both mitzvos as well. Mefata is not really good for our thesis one way or another, because it could be that there already is an ishos component to the maisa pitoy, and so there's no need to redeem that by having a mitzvah of lotia liisha. And the final example is the question of psulos, where we know that there are many different shitos, all at the beginning of Elu Nairos. That's why this chabur is on this topic. It's really the beginning of Elu Nairos. Do we say that there is no knas for chayve krisos, and what about for chayve lavin, and what about for women who are suras midrabanan, and what about chirim darabeinu gershom, if the ma'anis is already married to somebody? So do we say that she's not considered isha haruyelo, the anusa is not an isha haruyelo, or not? It's a discussion. And in each of these cases, so what do we paskin? we paskin that that women get knas, even chayvei krisos are entitled to knas. And nonetheless, we paskin that that there is no heter to marry these women. So the Achronim discussed, you know, to what extent within each of the different shittos, the Tana of our Mishnah and Rabbi Shimon Atimni and Rabbi Shimon Ben Menasya and Rabbi Nechunya Ben Akana, to what extent is there discrepancy, or to what extent do they dovetail these two mitzvos? Like there are the Mishnah Lamelech makes a suggestion that according to Rabbi Shimon Ben Menasya, who says that there is knas for chayvei lavin, but not for chayvei krisos. So we'll say asei do chalos asei bechayvei lavin, and so you'll have a mitzvah of lotil yisha and knas. Bechayvei krisos, there's no mitzvah of lotil yisha and there's no knas. So there you'll have the two of them being dovetailed. But we paskin that no, there's a discrepancy between them, and that all these psulos are entitled to knas, even though there is no mitzvah by them of lotihia liisha.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's earlier, you're discussing the possibility of the Suma.